Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. I'll just pause my intro really quickly. I have my guest on the line.
Hello, hey, Jay Smith. Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for coming on my show, talking about to talk about your book, talk about your experiences, what really changed your life, from what I gathered from the book. First, if you give us a brief introduction about who you are and the book that you wrote.
My name is Vijay Smith. I live in the town of Brookings, South Dakota, home of the largest university in the state of South Dakota. South Dakota State University has about 13,000 people. I used to work at the university as the alumni director. I befriended a guy who ran a cash register at Walmart about 11 years ago. His name was Aaron Martinson. Everybody called him Marty. And I got to be a good friend of his, and I wrote a story about him. And that story caused me to quit my job and talk to you.
lot of people... I'm sorry, Ryan. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm fine. Go ahead and ask the question.
So, what I was going to say is a lot of people might think you're kidding when you say somebody from Walmart changed your life, but a lot of people don't understand, and they seem to. I mean, even yourself, initially, your experience is going to the store and seeing Marty and what he was doing and saying, oh, brushing it off initially. Then you're saying, wait, there's real value in what this guy's doing. And people should really pay attention to it. Now, tell us exactly what Marty's legacy was at the Walmart chain, and then we'll talk about his life and the impact he's had on yours.
Sure. He was just absolutely a superstar, and I wasn't the only one that noticed it. Everybody in my hometown noticed it. Marty was 72 years old the time that I met him, and when he shook hands with all of his customers, he looked in their eyes and just thanked them profusely for shopping at Walmart. It was genuine. It wasn't an act. And consequently, because of it, his line always got to be 5-6 long, and there'd be nobody in the other lines, and the other Walmart cashiers would come forward and say, we can help you here. But people refused to move into the other lines simply because of how they were treated in those few minutes with him. They really felt he had a special friend. And I was intrigued by it, and I got to know him, and one thing led to another, I wrote a book about him.
Mm-hmm. Now, you initially, you walked up to him, and I mean, this book, first off, let's start talking about the book and how it begins and how it ends, and actually, it was a tearjerker for me at the end, and I find myself in being a guy that doesn't cry or doesn't really show his emotions or anything like that. But this book really got to me because it kind of, you know, reminded me of my grandfather. And that's one of the things I talked to you about during our last conversation. And that's kind of who Marty was and who he came out to be. And was it something that he was trying to do? Was he trying to be somebody that's going to be remembered, or was he just doing it because that's just who he was?
It's who he was. He was that individual that Tom Brokaw wrote about in The Greatest Generation, you know, the generation that went through the Great Depression. They were dirt poor. They won a war, the Great War, the Good War, whatever you want to call it, and came back and started the family. And he never set out to be anything special. I mean, you know, he was just going to do his job. Like most people do, but along the way he figured out if he worked hard and was good to people, it would all come back to him. And you know, you did bring out the idea that he reminded you of your grandfather, and that's one of the most special things that happened in this whole journey for me. Is whenever I go out and speak, when people read the book, they are reminded of special people in their lives that they've lost, that had those qualities, and we say we wish we could be more like that person. We really wish we were that appreciative of life and grateful for everything. And it's a neat deal when people share with me that special person in their life. So.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, your book, The Richest Man in Town, people can get it actually from my website. There's a direct link on there, www.blogtalkradio.com. /everydayradio. They could also go to Life's Precious Moments, I believe, is your site as well. They can go and check that out. Life's Greatest Moments, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Life's Greatest Moments. But it's easier if people go to www.therichestmanintown.com. And I think probably some of your listeners, you know, and I know why it was emotional for you, for some of the listeners out there. He was a guy who had, when he was sick, he received over 400 get-well cards. When he had his funeral, it was one of the biggest funerals I've ever been to. And that's a staggering thought, knowing this guy was a cashier at Walmart and position in life that we often look past and through. But he was so special that that people really felt they lost a friend when he died. And here it is. We're coming up on 7 years at the end of April that he's been gone. And I'm amazed that I can be in 250, 300 miles away from home, and I'll be talking to an audience, and let's say 250, 300 people in the audience, and I'll say, by the way, did anybody ever go through Marty's line? And a dozen people stand up. And that always intrigues me, that someone can be gone for 7 years and people remember going through his line, and I can't remember the cashier I saw this morning.
Yeah. It's truly amazing. That small town, I live in New York City. A lot of people probably get that from my voice. I am an immigrant, but I live in New York City since 1990, so it's been quite a bit. But we don't really see that kind of stuff. You know, it's kind of, here's what I want. I put on the counter. Thank you, hi, bye, things like that. I've never seen anybody come around the register and shake your hand in such a simple gesture, but it's such a gesture that's obviously changed so many people's lives. And that small town feel really typified the character that we see in Marty. And his legacy is not gone, obviously, thank God. It's been carried on through you and lessons that you've taught people. And actually, the Minnesota school system picked up, they picked up some sort of new program in memory of Marty. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, there are a lot of schools in the United States that will order the book, and there's also a program that we have that was developed by a teacher. But the teachers will read the book to the kids, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade kids, and the impact is significant because it's such a simple story, and the kids, young people, get really attached to Marty as an individual. But in some schools, and they've done it independently, where the schools have started a Marty of the Month, where a student of good character gets a badge with this badge that says Marty on it for a month. And you know, I look at it, and I know Marty would just think it was just wow. But the kids realize the value of having that badge out there, and being good, and being decent, and being kind. I mean, those are qualities that we all want. And we'd like to think we want more people to have, including ourselves. So, but you know, if we're going to make it as a country, we better be taking time to be good to each other.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that this is obviously you think people should read the book, and I think people should read the book just because, I mean, listen, it's less than 100 pages. A slow, unskilled or unprofessional reader such as myself, and I say that because I'm very slow and I'm very meticulous of what I read, and I want to take the words and stuff like that and be able to analyze it the right way. So I'm very slow when I do it, but when I pick up a book, I know it's going to be good, and this was one of those books that just came into my hands. I could have just pushed it off to the side, came into my hands by accident. I started reading, and I said, I can't put this down. I don't care that dinner's ready. I don't care that my mom's calling me. I don't care that people call me to you know, go out to dinner with them or something like that. I want to read this book, and I want to find out what's in it. I want to find out what made Marty Marty, and what touched, what about him touched your life. And there's certain lessons, and there's certain people that we meet along the way that just really change our lives, whether it be a teacher, whether it be outside of our family, because those people should always be there. But have you, what stories have you heard from people that, you know, they stand up in the air and say, hey, I have my own Marty in a local butcher shop or something like that? Do you hear stories like that all the time?
Every time I go out. Last Friday I was in Savannah, Georgia. Saturday I spoke here in South Dakota, and on Sunday morning I talked to the National Guard in North Dakota, and people will come up to me and pull me aside, and some pretty tough people, you know, when you're talking soldiers, and they pull you aside, and they want to tell you about their grandfather or their grandmother or their dad that they just lost in some pretty tragic situations, but they feel a need to tell you the story because they don't want the story to get lost. And I understand that, and I encourage all those people that have those stories, they need to write those down, even if it never gets published. Write it down, not just for themselves, but for later generations of family members, and what made that person special. Because it gets lost otherwise, and we lose so much stuff because we don't want to write stuff down. You know?
What's the biggest takeaway that you hear from people when they go to your seminars, your conferences, your whatever it's called? As, because you're obviously a world travel man, so every event you go to is a little bit different. I'm sure you spoke at fundraisers and Rob Ross speeches and pep rallies and things like that as well. But what about it? What individual experience, if you can talk about it, because some of it is very private, what individual experience that a person came to you, and I'm sure people broke down in tears in front of you as well, really hit home and made you realize that what you're doing is maybe God's work if you're a man of faith, or it's just the work of what you should be doing?
Well, the biggest takeaway for a lot of people is that I think people get are surprised when they do get emotional when they read the book, because I've had a lot of tough guys tell me that they couldn't believe that they cried during it. And I have to tell one of the reasons why I'm happy when I hear that is because I wasn't a crier at all. And I couldn't believe how many times I'd sit around the kitchen table at Marty's house, which was a double-wide trailer. And we would sit at his kitchen table, and he would be telling me a story. And you'd just start crying. And I wanted people to feel the same way I did at that kitchen table when I talked to him. The tough guy sitting there talking to this guy who, and obviously the book has a story, but I wanted people to feel what I felt. And because when people get emotional, they remember. You know, if it was a book filled with laughter, they're not going to remember what I wrote, other than, hey, that was kind of a funny story. If it's an emotional story, people are going to remember. And when people, what people really do when they reflect on what they truly have in life, the many blessings that they have in life, because here was a guy who lived in a trailer. He never made more than minimum wage in his life. He had no retirement plan because the places he worked for had none for him until he got with Walmart. I mean, this whole litany of things that were going against him, and yet he couldn't believe all the stuff he had. And for me, that was an eye-opener, because I had so many more things than he did, I thought. But I was missing the most important elements, that true appreciation for the things that I have, spending more time in organizations, spending more time with my family, and really being in the moment rather than being a robot. I mean, it was all these things that he reminded me of, it, and that's why it was so tragic when we lost him. But on the other hand, I'm glad I had 4 years with him.
Now, do you see a certain sect of people, a certain demographic of people that just relate to this more than anything else? Is it the older generation, the younger generation, or do you think they're all equally open to listening to what you're saying and the message of Marty?
Well, that's the great thing that's happened in this. I'm glad you, because I thought the message would appeal to Marty's generation, you know, the older generation, and they can identify with whatever I was talking about, including what type of foods he ate. But the thing that amazes me the most happens to be the generation that seems to really get the most out of it happens to be young kids now. I've talked to over 200,000 kids in the last 5 years, middle school to high school, and I'm amazed that they just absolutely sit there and get locked onto the message, don't leave me. I can truthfully say this, in my 5 years and talking to 200,000 kids, and I don't know how many schools I've been to, I've never had any young person act up while I've talked. And do you know the reason why? It's because I'm talking about grandpa. I'm talking about grandpa, and you've got to pay attention when you're talking, when someone's talking about your grandfather. And I really chalk it up to that. People are just, young people are taken by the story, and it's very emotional. And it's interesting because a lot of young kids find themselves on the verge of crying, and they do not want to cry around their friends, and they fight it, and they fight it, and they fight it. I had a young girl, she's an eighth grade girl, she sent me an email, she said, I was going to cry, but there are three popular boys right behind me. And so she just didn't feel like she could display her full emotion, but it does make people emotional, and I'm glad.
You know what? It's better to have a reaction than have no reaction at all. I'd rather, if I'm writing a book and my goal is to connect with people on the personal, social, and emotional level, I'd rather them fight back their tears and, you know, and try to hide it from people than not have any reaction at all, because then they're just not getting the full extent of what you're trying to say. But once again, V.J. Smith, author of The Richest Man in Town, the story by Marty Martinson, a phenomenal book. I strongly encourage people to read it or get it from the library. Wherever you get it, just get your hands on it. You could also go to lifesgreatestmoments.com or therichestmanintown.com to pick it up. Amazon, go to my site. And I think I got it all covered. I'm not sure.
Appreciate your interest in the story.
Well, I appreciate you coming on again. Like I said, an email and on the phone last time we spoke, I didn't expect you to respond to them because so many people have their information, their email address, whatever, in the back of their books, and they just leave it there. It's untouched, unkempt, or on anything. But your willingness to want to share the story is really inspiring, and the story itself is inspiring. So I want to thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for doing such a great job in getting the message out and, you know, inspiring people, inspiring myself especially.
Well, it truly is an honor to be able to tell people Marty's story. It's an honor to talk to you. People who want to know, I just can't believe I get to do this. I can't believe that I get to go around the United States and tell people about my friend. And thank you for having me on.
It was my pleasure, mine, and a true honor. Thank you so much for coming on. God bless.
You're welcome.